How many of you look forward to the weekend as the weekend approached? Most of you? I'm afraid to say that for most ministers, we probably look forward to after Sunday worship. So that's when our Sabbath begins. But I know that most people look forward to the weekend. Maybe you sleep in. Maybe you are visiting with family and friends and are getting a chance to catch up or engage in a fun activity. But for those in Paris, France this weekend, particularly on Saturday, whether you are a native or tourist, many of the stores and key attractions were closed. Due to protests and riots, the Eiffel Tower and Louvre Museum were two of the 9 popular tourist destinations that were closed on Saturday. In addition, 6 soccer matches were postponed in France's top-tier soccer league. For the last 4 consecutive weekends, protests against the French government have taken place as demonstrators protested against rising living costs and increasing taxes. Tear gas, rubber bullets have been fired by police and water cannons deployed. While stores have been smashed and looted, cars set on fire as protests have turned violent. Just this past Saturday alone, 10,000 demonstrators protested in Paris, and across France, an estimated 125,000, while approximately 90,000 officers were on duty throughout the nation. And in Paris, 12 armored vehicles. These protests have been called the Yellow Vest Movement, because demonstrators are wearing high-visibility yellow clothing that is required to be carried in every vehicle by French law. Born online, demonstrators are connected together by how they have been impacted by the higher cost of living. The increasing prices at the gas pump are a weekly reminder of how much less is available for those already struggling to meet important needs, simple things like putting food on the table and paying rent. And those suffering range from factory workers to the unemployed to the self-employed, many of them artisans, and even the retired. An analysis of the 2018-19 budget carried out by France's Public Policy Institute found out that the poorest quarter of households would largely see their income drop or stay under the plans, while middle-income earners would see a modest bump. And almost all retired people would be worse off. Unfortunately, the greatest beneficiaries would be those who are already wealthy in the top 1%. Arrested demonstrators who appeared in court ranged from a 21-year-old with a master's degree in finance to a car factory worker, from a 45-year-old divorced butcher and a father of one, to a high school student with a prison conviction. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The kingdom of the Son of the Most High. This is why the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the kingdom of the Son of the Most High, to tell her that she will conceive and bear a son whom she will name Jesus. Jesus, who will be called Great, called the Son of the Most High, whose kingdom will have no end. But here we are, many of us, I'm sure, perplexed, like Mary. Some of us perhaps even afraid, like Zechariah was. Because the conflict and poverty and violence across the Atlantic is not just a harsh reality over there. And if it's not a harsh reality we personally experience, we probably know someone who does. On this second Sunday of Advent, when we have lit this candle of peace, what does it mean to be a people of faith who walk the way of peace, the peace of the Christ child? Do we protest against economic injustices but without the violence? Do we march Saturday after Saturday to make a stand for those who cannot afford to travel to their jobs, not a getaway vacation, and still put food on the table and pay rent? Now, some of us may be moved to demonstrate and to protest in the larger public sphere, And there may be a time when we as a church must take a political stand. But this morning, as we reflect together on this kingdom without end, may we consider that the kingdom of the Most High, this new world that the Christ child came to usher in, is first and foremost relational. This new world is relational, and Mary experiences this relationship first. When the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadows her, and she conceives in her womb a child. It is in pregnancy first that Mary will nurture the babe in her womb by what she eats and how she cares for her body. But here's the thing. Mary cannot have a healthy pregnancy on her own. She needs the support of Joseph and her family as her footsteps become heavier and heavier and her breathing becomes more labored as the baby pushes up against her diaphragm as the baby grows. Although it is Mary who will ultimately have to give birth to this precious child, she cannot do it alone. She needs the wisdom of the women who have had children before her, who know the pains of labor and what might help to ease those pains just a wee bit. She needs the support of her husband, obviously economic in the ancient Mediterranean, but she also needs his love, as Joseph does hers. Mary also needs the community around her to help her raise this little boy. Because any of us who have been around a little toddler knows just how fast and busy and curious and willfully stubborn they can be. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The kingdom of the Son of the Most High. That first begins with a child growing in a mother's womb. A new world that is first and foremost, relational. On the West Coast, there's a man whose name is Shenan Cheraniah. Although soft-spoken, Shenan is articulate and confident. In an online picture, you can see him wearing glasses, a collared shirt, and a suit jacket, with a mic in his hand speaking to an anti-gang forum. Today, Shenan is a life coach. But when he was 11 years old, he experienced bullying at school when his family moved to Canada from Kenya. So Shenan started to skip school in order to avoid those classmates who would pick on him. And as a teenager, he started to steal cars and then doing cocaine at 14, dropping out of high school at 15. Too many fights, he says. And then by the time he was 17, Shenan began to sell drugs. And before he was even 19, he was wearing a Kevlar vest and carrying a gun. In his 20s, he turned to home invasions and importing guns from south of the border. What could have changed the trajectory of Shenan's life when he was just 11 years old? Shenan will tell you after years of counseling, therapy, and reflection that a lack of human connection was what sent him spiraling out of control as a youth. The 13 and 14-year-olds who are getting involved in the drug trade each have a history, and unfortunately, lack of human connection, lack of meaningful human relationships. This is a common theme. Shenan says it is easier to recruit a lonely teen into a gang than someone who has meaningful relationships with their family. Shenan initially chose a gangster life because they accepted him and filled him with a sense of belonging that he wasn't getting anywhere else. And so today, as a life coach, Shenan encourages individuals to connect with their children. He says, share something with your children about yourself so that they can see you as more than just the boss of a house. So that they can see you as more than just the boss of a house. But some households, parents are not around, or parents are just too busy, scrambling to make ends meet. Not because they don't want to be at home, but they're frantically trying to make enough money to put food on the table and pay for rent. Do we know who those families are? Are we one of those families? How do we connect with our children? Whether they're 32, 18, 9, or an infant. Just yesterday, or just Friday, I took my son to get his G1. And he was reading his book as he was waiting in line, and I was frantically trying to prepare for the message. And I heard these lovely cooing sounds of an infant. And my head went up, and I looked around to see where these lovely sounds were coming from. And there to my left, in a stroller, I could hear these lovely sounds. And the mom? We maybe waited 20 minutes. And in the 20 minutes, I saw her speak to her child. Maybe once, twice, and for less than 2 minutes. She was on her phone, or she was talking to someone else. It was an important conversation, in a sense, helping someone else. But there was her baby. How are we connecting with our families? How easy is it for us, sometimes even at the dinner table, to turn to our phone or to the television instead of looking at a loved one's face and finding out how their day was? Or maybe thinking about a response to a parent's question, how was your day? Something other than, fine, meh, okay. My children aren't here, I can make fun of them. And the kingdom, there will be no end. The kingdom of the Son of the Most High. That first begins with a child growing in a mother's womb. A new world that is first and foremost relational. A new world that is about relationships, and relationships that give you and I purpose. For the angel's message to Mary is also for us. Do we hear this message for a new world that is first and foremost relational? Who are we called to connect with? Who has God given to us to connect to? For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen.